Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community, including News Talk 1230 WFBA advertising partners sponsoring today's program. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFEA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We are going to talk this morning about Christmas at Ferry Farm and Kenmore with Megan Buttinger, the curator at Kenmore, and Alma Withers, the director of education at Ferry Farm. Welcome back, you two. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
This is always, I am fine, and this is always a fun show because we really get to talk about a lot of events and activities in the area. And boy, Kenmore and Ferry Farm really have some great holiday stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've been planning it since last year.
That's the thing, Alma, with both of you, what you do, you go from, because I was thinking it really as soon as you'll finish the holidays, then all of a sudden you're getting ready for George Washington's birthday.
Yeah, we are. We are. And we, you know, it just rolls. We just go from one thing to the other. We started planning the gingerbread, doing the work for that after 4th of July, we started working on our Christmas events.
That must be at times just seem kind of funny when it's hot in August and you and Megan are sitting around and talking about what's going on that's happening right now.
That's exactly right. Hot in August with fake snow and pine trees and the
and
whole shebang.
Off we go. Yeah.
But you've been doing this a number of years now, and
this is the 29th gingerbread exhibit.
Wow. There are a lot of people, because my kids would be some of them, that in the past grew up making gingerbread houses.
And it started at Kenmore, and then it was moved to, I guess because of the work on the Kenmore house, mm-hmm. it was moved to Ferry Farm. And so then we decided that we needed something. It would be nice to have something at Kenmore, and that's when I wanted to do a Peeps exhibit. You know what they are when you take those peeps for those bunny peeps?
Yeah,
I mean, the Washington Post sponsors one every year. I thought it'd be cool to do peeps, but then Megan.
The historian
stepped in and said no.
We're not going to do marshmallows here at Kenmore.
We can't do marshmallows at Kenmore.
But what we came up with is even better.
Yes. So now we do dollhouses.
Yes.
We're going to get into that in the next segment because that really was last year was the first
last
time.
Last year was our debut year, and it was a hit.
It was really a fun thing, and we're going to talk about that. As far as the gingerbread house, and I do remember taking and going with the kids to the gingerbread houses over at Kenmore setting them up in that room.
And in our files, there are pictures of the gingerbread houses. And what we do, we have a theme because we think, and the theme is mission driven, usually. And then we think that it helps the exhibitors. The theme this year is George Washington slept here. So, and we've done that before, and it's always very interesting to see what people develop around that theme.
I guess a lot of it, there'll be a lot of beds, I guess.
I don't know. The last time it was Valley Forge. Someone did a Valley Forge.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there'll be Mount Vernon's, and maybe there'll be, you know, we have the image of the Washington House at Ferry Farm. Hopefully we'll have some of those.
Yeah. So the theme, George Washington Slept Here, is the theme, and you're taking entries until Saturday.
And the judging is Saturday at 4 o'clock. So we extended it. It used to be Friday at 5 o'clock. But because of people's schedules, we thought it would be better to give folks an extra day.
What are some of the rules that people need to know? Just some of the main things that they need to know in putting together a gingerbread house for the contest at Ferry Farm.
It has to be handmade gingerbread, no kits. Candy, any decorations must be edible, unwrapped, and handmade, preferably. You can't have any canned or packaged commercial icings. It has to be all be handmade as well. And you cannot use electric power, candles, or heat-producing features in it. And that's purely for safety.
Yeah.
And we've limited the size of it so that folks – so you can get it through the door. So this, we found that was a problem.
That's been a problem on occasion, yes.
Wow, that would be. All of a sudden somebody comes with something.
We're measuring the door to make sure that you can get through.
Yeah. Now, I remember walking through the exhibit last year, and boy, some people the imagination that some people have
the attention to detail, and you know, a lot of people decide months ahead. That's why we advertise months ahead of times, because people have it so they can develop it in their minds what exactly they're going to do.
I guess a lot of people should have been working on this by now, and you'll start seeing people drop off gingerbread houses in the next few days.
Hopefully, you know, we don't. But, you know, because of the weather, I mean, no one's going to bring their gingerbread in the weather like this.
Yeah, you're right. We got another day of rain today, but by tomorrow that all moves out, and people can start doing that kind of thing. Then after the judging is done, people can come by and see these gingerbread houses.
Yeah, we're having an opening reception where the gingerbread makers will be there, and you can come by. And we're also doing an opening reception for the wee Christmas, so you could get a combo ticket and you can do both.
Okay, when is the gingerbread house? When is that opening?
It's the 6th.
Oh, okay, on Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday.
2 to 4 is the reception. It went very well last year.
Especially for people thinking about wanting to do this, just going and talking to somebody who's done it, I'm sure you get a lot of ideas.
Yes. I mean, we did an interview last year. We taped an interview with two students from Cortland, and so they were talking about their process and what they went through, and it was very interesting.
For some of these people, I mean, I don't know. I look at some of those entries last year. I couldn't figure out how they possibly did it. And did it as well as they did.
And it stayed together. That's what I find fascinating, you know, is that it lasts. We've even frozen gingerbread houses. There was a mailbox one time that we froze for, and then we brought it out for 4th of July. I forget what the theme was, but it was really cool.
Okay. Well, what an honor for those people to have their thing come up. So the gingerbread house competition and the judging and everything kicks off on Saturday. Entries accepted through Saturday, and there's a $5 entry fee. And then after that, after the opening on Sunday, then if you want to come by next week, you can bring the kids by and see everything.
And, you know, we have our preschool gingerbread workshops that start next week, where they'll read a story, they'll decorate a gingerbread house a little, and then they'll get to vote for their favorite gingerbread. And we always have voting for People's Choice, and so we'll give a People's Choice Award as well.
Okay.
And we'll do a scavenger hunt for it. So it's a great little fun family activity.
We're going to get into we will talk about that in more detail as we go along this morning. Again, the 29th annual Gingerbread House contest and exhibit at George Washington's Ferry Farm. The judging is on Saturday. The exhibit opens on Sunday, and then you can go by and see everything. If you thought you and Megan got together and talked about the 30th gingerbread competition?
Not yet. But we will.
That's in January.
January.
Alma Withers here, the Director of Education at Ferry Farm. Megan Buttiger's here. She's the curator at Kenmore. There is a exhibit at Kenmore with dollhouses, and these aren't just dollhouses. We'll talk about that when we come back on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism this morning. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Alma Withers from Ferry Farm here this morning. Megan Buttinger from Kenmore here. We've talked about the gingerbread competition. A new exhibit opened last year at this time, Megan, at Kenmore with dollhouses. And these aren't just dollhouses.
No. This is an exhibit of dollhouses, yes, but quite often they are kind of what you'd call professional-grade dollhouses, I guess. They're not just your children's toys. These are people who are professional miniaturists who collect and make many of their own miniatures. Some of them have built their own dollhouses. It's really, really impressive, the things that they bring in for this exhibit. Last year was our first year. It was a huge hit. And we're returning for round two this year.
When you came in and talked about it last year, I remember thinking, they're dollhouses. But when you go, like you say, when you go and see it, just the detail.
The detail is extraordinary, extraordinary. And it's, I mean, you just see the most amazing things, miniature magazines that are actual, like Time Life publications and that sort of thing, dishes and pets and plants. And it's just unbelievable, the tiniest little
pictures
things.
Pictures on the wall,
the things that they fit into these dollhouses. It's just, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, no, I just remember just kneeling down and looking in, and you're just kind of mesmerized.
Absolutely.
By it.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun.
and there's a lot of different, some are, just the level of detail varies from which one, but some who don't maybe get down to, the pictures on the wall do different things, and they emphasize different things.
Absolutely, yes. Last year we had several antique dollhouses that were, from early in the 20th century or even in the 19th century, actually, in one case. The teeny tiny details weren't there, but you're looking at a dollhouse that's been played with for, 150 years. That's really kind of amazing. So it really runs the gamut. And there are some well-loved dollhouses that have been, have grown up with families, children that will be showing up, and a lot of pieces that have great stories behind them. So there's a little something there for everybody.
Well, and what made this fun was you had a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Your dollhouse. And that was a really an impressive dollhouse.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, my childhood dollhouse traveled all the way down from Pennsylvania last year to be in the show. My dad drove it down, and he built it when I was a kid growing up. And he and I together built a lot of the furniture and that sort of thing when I was a child. So it's a great memory for me. And that dollhouse has been living in my living room ever since last year's exhibit.
Yeah, he said he's not taking it back.
He said he wouldn't take it back to Pennsylvania. So it's been here in Virginia since then, and it'll be back on display at Kenmore for the wee Christmas show.
And of course, the Kenmore dollhouse is there.
Yes.
Is year round.
Yeah,
yes.
That was the
basis for this.
That was the main reason we decided to do a dollhouse show at Kenmore, was to complement the gingerbread show at Ferry Farm without using food. But it's also because Kenmore has this very elaborate, very detailed dollhouse in its collection that's an exact replica of Kenmore itself. And that's on display in our gallery year-round. And so that's always a showpiece of the dollhouse exhibit.
And I'll admit, the times I've been to Kenmore, I don't think I ever paid much attention
right.
to it. But because it was in that context, I did. How old is that dollhouse?
That dollhouse, well, it has a kind of funny story. It technically was finished in 1985. But it was started about 10 years before that, and it was a lady who had come to tour Kenmore and fell in love with the house and wanted to make a replica of it as a dollhouse for her granddaughter. And she got so into it and so invested and so involved in the detail that by the time it was finished, her granddaughter was no longer of the age where you play with dollhouses.
Yeah.
So she ended up donating it to the foundation. And so it's been on display here and there in different places ever since the mid-1980s.
Yeah, it was fascinating to look at that, and then with the others, and it all just fit.
It really does. It's been a great fit for Kenmore to do the dollhouses, And we were really surprised at the response last year. People seemed to really get into it and really enjoy it. So we're really thrilled to have it around again this year.
We have four exhibitors from Richmond that are driving their dollhouse here to exhibit.
Yes. In fact, one of those gentlemen is bringing a 5-foot-long dollhouse. So we are clearing a huge space for him to fit that in. So the dollhouse enthusiasts are passionate, and they come from all over the place.
And then on the other hand, we have a teapot dollhouse that is how many inches? Not very large.
It's about a 10x9 ceramic teapot. Huh. That has been a miniature room has been built inside the teapot. So we have the huge and we have the tiny as well.
I don't remember that from last year.
That was not. New. In fact, my dollhouse and one other dollhouse are the only repeats in the entire show. It's all new exhibitors this year. So if you came last year, you'll see a whole bunch of new things this year.
Mm-hmm. So would you ever consider taking your dollhouse around to different shows?
Actually, when I was a kid, my dad and I did take the dollhouse to shows once or twice, and it's a lot of work. These people really, to pick up and move something like that on a regular basis is a lot of work. So I think for now, probably the Kenmore show is the only one that my dollhouse will be making an appearance in. But certainly the people that do it on a regular basis, they have wonderful passion for it, and I'm very impressed by them.
I would be nervous traveling
around. Exactly.
Just even your dad bringing it from Pennsylvania here, I think that's a long way, and you just don't want things to happen.
Well, exactly. He was very nervous, and I think that's the main reason he did not want to drive it back to Pennsylvania again. Ended up stopping every hour or so to check on the dollhouse.
And they will be setting up on Saturday. They'll start at 7:30, and this one gentleman, it took him four or five hours
to get all of his pieces together last year.
All those tiny pieces together.
So we'll be there all day Saturday setting up, and then we'll be open to the public on Sunday.
The you mentioned just you and your dad building things. What a great thing for a dad and a daughter to be able to do together. I'm sure a lot of those pieces have great memories for you.
Absolutely. There's, when we were cleaning up the dollhouse last year to get it ready to go into this dollhouse show, we kind of were taking out a lot of the homemade stuff because it looks kind of homemade and that sort of thing. And after a few minutes, I thought, we should really leave that in there. That's what we remember doing is putting the things that we made ourselves together. So you'll see it all in the dollhouse, handmade and otherwise.
I guess a lot of people it's probably like baseball cards that sometimes you have them, you get rid of them. And I'm sure a lot of people did have dollhouses and got rid of them, and now probably regret that they don't have them to pass on or something.
And that's the case. Another one of our staff members, Jessica Berger, is going to be exhibiting this year as well. She's a new staff member for us, and she was all excited about the dollhouse show and wanted to put her childhood dollhouse in it. Discovered her father had gotten rid of it. But he'd saved all of the furniture. So she's going to do displays of all of her dollhouse furniture, and it's really great stuff. Mm-hmm. It's mid-century, early 20th century furniture, so it's neat stuff. So she was heartbroken about the dollhouse, but her furniture survived, and it will be in the show, too.
And a nice compliment to the dollhouse show is our Christmas tour in the house. And a part of that will be something for children.
That's right.
With Megan and Heather have hidden foxes throughout the house. And we'll have a little brochure to talk about fox hunts. And then inside the brochure will be pictures of where the foxes are hid. Hidden.
Oh, okay.
And so the idea is to identify the foxes. This is the second year we've done that.
Yes, it's called Tally-O, a Fox Hunt at Kenmore. And it's based on the idea that fox hunting in the 18th century was a big part of Christmas celebrations.
Oh.
So the idea is that the really little kids can look at dollhouses and miniatures, and then they can keep looking for miniature things in Kenmore and find all of these little foxes hidden throughout the house.
Well, these are two events that are just great family events. And, it doesn't matter if you have kids or not, just to come to both of them. You can be at any age.
Oh, absolutely.
And enjoy it.
Absolutely. I think, especially in the case of the dollhouses, you start to notice that the adults are enjoying it just as much as the kids are. It really captures everybody's imaginations.
And what we do, we have a blog, Lives and Legacies blog, and we have blogs that complement. For instance, we have a blog that will come out about the Lewis's family and mm-hmm. mention the fox hunting. Mm-hmm. There's a blog piece that about the dollhouse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blog piece about the gingerbread and the ladies raising money with gingerbread. So Lives and Legacies complements our programming, as well as Megan's blog about
the rooms at Kenmore. Yes, yes. So that follows our ongoing refurnishing effort. And we'll also be shortly talking about Christmas decorating at Kenmore on that blog.
Yeah, okay. I remember doing a video of the dollhouses at Kenmore, and it was very popular.
Yes.
I had a good time doing it, and it was nice to see that people really were, you know, kind of gravitated to that.
Yes, your video had hundreds of views. It was wonderful, and it was a nice way for people to be able to really see all the detail in the dollhouses, because if you don't look closely, you can miss it sometimes. These are little tiny things, and that video I thought was really great help for it.
Well, and it does show that to go to something like this isn't something you just look at and okay.
No. Plan to spend some time. Yes, spend some time. There's a lot of detail. In total, we have 19 entries this year, so there's more than there were last mm-hmm. year. So really plan to spend some time and get down on the level with the dollhouses. Really take a look.
It does, and it gives you ideas. And who knows? You might want to get into doing that. And it's the same way Alma with the gingerbread.
And I think the scavenger hunt really helps people to focus. You know, it really helps you to focus and to see if you can identify what's on the sheet. So I think that helps as well.
Well, and I thought even the model of the Kenmore house was mm-hmm. great, because I've only been in just a couple of rooms mm-hmm. in Kenmore, and I just realized how much more to that
yes.
house that there is.
That's right. That's right. That dollhouse is an enormous dollhouse,
yeah.
and you realize how large Kenmore itself must be in order to produce such a large dollhouse. It gives our visitors a lot of perspective, I think, on the property.
Dollhouses at Kenmore, gingerbread at Ferry Farm. Kenmore.org is where you can find out all of what we're talking about this morning and get all the details on the events. More coming up with Megan and Alma this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstafford.com. VA.com. Alma Withers from Ferry Farm here. Megan Bettinger from Kenmore is they're both here. And we're talking about events at Ferry Farm and Kenmore. And a lot of this will be over the holidays, but we'll get into some of the things for next year just to give you an idea of some of the things going on. Alma, you mentioned it. The gingerbread preschool workshops will start next Monday and go through the 21st. Talk a little bit again about what that is.
They're booked every day. We're booked.
Oh, really?
Some folks call us, as a matter of fact, call us in the summer to book for the gingerbread workshop.
Wow,
we've been doing them
ahead.
For years. Yeah.
So start thinking about next year.
I know, but yes. But we just booked one yesterday, as a matter of fact. So and it's just fun with, you know, you look at these darling little children at 4 and 5 year old and they listen to and act out Jan Brett's gingerbread baby story, and then they get to decorate a paper gingerbread house and a gingerbread person cookie. They do get that. They do the scavenger hunt, and it's just a a lot of buzzing around with children because they get to choose their favorite, and it's always interesting to see what they like, what they choose. And it's $6 per child, but we have a lot of preschools, and we have a minimum of 10 people, of 10 children. But they are just so cute when they come in, and they're just so excited about it.
Someday, somebody's going to come to you and say, they're going to have won something with a gingerbread, and they're going to say, I was part of one of those gingerbread workshops.
Yeah, that's what I love. You know, and we've this past summer for our, when we had our camps, we had a lady call to say that she recommended the camps, our camps, because her children had gone to it, had gone to them, and how much she appreciated what we did. So the thing, it could be, well, you know, I've had people tell me that I've entered the gingerbread contest, well, just like, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
So this is just a wonderful tradition for us.
Yep. There's also a holiday decorations workshop for kids at Kenmore next Saturday, the 12th, from 1 to 3. And I guess that's just what it says.
This is new for us.
This is new. Okay.
This is new. We thought, well, wouldn't it be fun? I was thinking about my granddaughter and how she likes to do things. She likes to decorate and do things. So they will make an arrangement and a goblet, a Christmas arrangement, and then they'll create a little fox ornament made out of wood. They'll do that. They'll look at the decorations at Kenmore. They'll get to tour those. And it will be in our kitchen, and it should be a fun workshop, hands-on, a lot of hands-on activity.
You know, Megan, one of the things that's kind of cool about Kenmore is it's not just you do things like this, and you bring kids in, and you bring families in to do things, and it's not just this stuffy kind of thing that we only walk through and we look at things and keep a distance.
That's very true. That's very true. We try very hard at Kenmore to really bring life into the house. And, you know, that it still means you can't, you know, sit on the antiques or, you know, pick up the glassware, but it means that you can walk into the rooms and you can actually get a feel for the house. We love to have the kids groups in the house because they get so excited and they bring a lot of energy to the house. Of course, when the Lewis family lived there in the 18th century, there were 5 kids under the age of 12 in that house. So that's the way that house was intended to be used, to be lived in. So, yes, we try very hard to keep the house very interactive and engaging and open and less like a museum and more like an actual house.
Now, you do things all year round. I was just talking, and what brings this to mind was talking to Fred Franklin a couple weeks ago. And I know he does
a lot of work.
He does Shakespeare and on the grounds in the summer, and that in itself is just a fascinating thing.
Yes, absolutely. The Shakespeare is a huge, huge success for us every summer, and Fred's done wonders with that. And he also directs almost all of the theatrical productions that we do inside the house as well throughout the year. And, of course, our next big one coming up is Twelfth Night, and it's a huge production, and Fred's been
hugely working with them. As a matter of fact, it was his idea for us to have scenes in the house, because he said, you know, that would bring it to life.
Yeah.
And so we've done it.
This is our fourth or fifth year now that we've done
Twelfth Night. And it's about storytelling. You know, that's what history is. It's about telling stories. And the research shows when it's done using dramatic scenes that people, it changes their thinking about history and it helps us because we have been writing scripts. It's helped us to form our characters. We know more about at least I do, Fielding and Betty, because we've been talking about their emotions and feelings. And one of the best pieces I think we did was when Betty had to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was it was her last fit hour in the house when she had to leave it. And this Twelfth Night tells about the Lewis family in 1775, the cusp of the war. The war has just begun. And the fact that this could be their last activity, celebration in the house. And they just moved in. So it's all those undercurrents and the conflict that we'll tell the story of.
So 12th Night at Canmore will be Friday, January 8th through Sunday, January 10th.
Yes, we added an extra performance day this year, the Friday, because we had to turn people away last year, so we wanted to give everybody a chance to get in and see it. So yes, we start a little earlier in the day, too. It will be candlelit. Obviously, if you come to the earlier performances, it'll be brighter in the house.
Yeah.
But you'll get the true candlelight effect in the later evening performances. So just keep that in mind when you're calling to make reservations.
The performance times are 3, 3:35, 4:45, and 5:30. So yes. I guess these aren't real long kind of
performances.
No. The tour takes probably in total about 45 minutes. So the performances overlap slightly as one group is going out of the house, another one is coming in.
Yeah.
So they overlap slightly. So it's not a major all-night commitment. You can still get to dinner afterwards or something like that, have a nice evening out. But it's a great way to see Canmore in a really different light.
And the houses will be up.
The dollhouses will be up.
You could do the dollhouses. Yeah. Plus, we'll have refreshments as well. Families are, people brought children. I was a little bit surprised, but the children really, really enjoyed it. We had a little five-year-old last year, and if you're there, you're right there with the actors. Mm-hmm. And one actor was just very upset. I think it was in the dining room about something, and the little five-year-old boy leaned over to him and said, "It's going to be okay."
I've never seen Canmore in candlelight, but I bet it's something because
it is. It is. It's really rather remarkable. Obviously, because it is a historic house, we can't use actual flames, but we have very realistic electric candles, I have to say. And it's the way the house was intended to be seen in the evening. So you get the idea of those huge, beautiful plaster carved ceilings that are bright white during the day. They reflect all of that candlelight. So it makes the rooms glow. It's really spectacular. And it's a great way to see the house and not something you have the opportunity to do very often. So take the opportunity.
I've seen Salem Church and Chatham in candlelight. Yes. So I'm sure this is just the same. And there's just something about it. Like you say, that's what it was like every night.
Exactly. It's the way the Lewis family would have experienced it in the 1800s, the 1700s.
12th Night at Canmore, Friday, January 8th through Sunday, January the 10th. Now, looking ahead at some events I know for next year, BB, before you know it, Alma, you're going to be back talking about George Washington's birthday and all those kind of events in February.
Yes, we last July we sat and crafted our year of events for 2016, and so we'll come back and do the birthday and then Archaeology Day, which is great fun. Did you come last year? You came?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a great family event. And we have a new camp in March. We're going to do one-day archaeology camp for grandparents and grandchildren.
I know the archaeology camps that you do in the summer are
very
really
popular. So we thought we'd take – this is spring break.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd take that opportunity that a parent, grandparent, and grandchild can come for a day and do a lot of the activities that we do during archaeology camp. They'll make glue. They'll do some digging. They'll do some cleaning, and just visit the lab, the archaeology lab, which is a very exciting place to be.
Oh, yes, that's something to be seen. Well, if we've learned anything this morning, Alma, this is what have you learned today, kind of thing. Is sign up early for fairy farm things.
Yes. Indeed.
Because it might be March, but it's going to be filled up before you know
it. Well, see, when we do our history camp in June, that's the one we do with the Mary Washington House, Apothecary, Rising Sun Tavern, Canmore Fairy Farm. We advertise in January, and people start signing their children up for the camp because it's a limited enrollment. We'll take maybe 50, 55, 60 children, so we need to do that.
So lots of exciting things going on. Again, Canmore.org is where you can find really the the list of activities and events. Before we take a break, we always talk about it, Megan, when you're here, or whether we're talking to you at Ferry Farm on 4th of July or anytime you come in here, you've got a great blog that really goes through a lot of interesting things that you do day to day and things that you discover as you kind of peel back the layers of Kenmore.
That's right. That's right. Kenmore's been undergoing a major restoration and refurnishing project we're just coming to the end of it. It's been going on for about a decade now. And the Rooms at Kenmore is the blog that follows that process. And mostly it's just weekly posts about the really interesting stuff that we're finding along the way, all sorts of clues and mysteries, and sometimes we don't always know what they mean, but we're pretty honest about that on the blog too. And when we can solve a mystery, we'd like to put that on the blog as well. So it's a lot of fun. We're starting to wind up the refurnishing process now. The main floor is just about complete. So the future of the Rooms at Kenmore blog is probably going to change a little bit in the coming months and years. And it probably will become more of a companion to our Lives and Legacies blog, which focuses on mostly on what's going on at Ferry Farm, but also is a really great resource for just fun and interesting history. Fun things about history, and lots of videos that show a lot of our staff members doing all sorts of crazy things, like scaling a fish with a rock tool the way prehistoric people would have done it at Ferry Farm, you know, that sort of thing.
It's experimental archaeology. And I asked one of the archaeologists who's one of our, really, she's the wonderful with it. I said, does experimental archaeology have anything to do with something that has nothing to do with fire and sharp objects? And she said no.
So both blogs together really give you great information and great resources.
I've got to check out Lives and Legacies because I have not seen that. I've always told people that your blog and the Park Service blog that John Hennessy and other historians at the Park Service do, those two together here just give you really more information on a lot that's going on, because history is not you're still discovering things.
We're still discovering things. Absolutely. Yeah, every day we learn something that we didn't know before.
And particularly with science, how science has helped us to learn more about history. You know, the thing that we call this our digital interpretation, and we're very excited. And every month we get the profile of people who are coming online for our blog, and Brazil.
We have people from Brazil reading our blog.
Yeah, that's like.
I mean, our goal is for anyone all over the world to be able to for us to share.
That's like the stream of this show on the internet is heard in Europe, or you know, people. And so you just never know. Elma Withers and Megan Budinger here. We're talking about Ferry Farm and Kenmore at Christmas. We'll wrap this up by talking about a lot of the things again happening and kicking off this weekend. When we come back. On Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Elma Withers from Ferry Farm, Megan Budinger from Kenmore here this morning. Again, we'll wrap up this up this morning by just talking about some of the things that really are kicking off this weekend. And one of the cool things, Megan, at Kenmore is the dollhouses. And these aren't just dollhouses.
No, they're pretty amazing dollhouses is what they are. It's our annual Wee Christmas exhibit. Well, annual as in this is our second year, but it was a big hit last year. We have more exhibitors this year, more dollhouses, and just immense amounts of detail and interest. So plan to come by and spend some time looking at these dollhouses.
And that's the key. Spend some time. Look at it because, I'll just never forget just your dollhouse particularly, because you had said you were going to bring it in and just looking at it. And in your case, just looking at it and thinking, there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of memories here.
There's a lot of my father and I made a lot of the things in my dollhouse. He built the dollhouse. And yeah, I think that's anybody that has a dollhouse feels that way about it. There's a lot of memory and a lot of history in
one
piece.
One of our exhibitors rescues dollhouses. He'll go and he'll at sales or and find
yard sales and
yard
flea
sales
markets
and he will rescue them and renovate them.
Wow! Didn't you say, Megan? I'm trying to remember from last year that your dollhouse wasn't it. Was part of it destroyed at one point?
Yes. Unfortunately, there was a collision between my dollhouse and a cat, a pet cat, many years ago that sort of smashed one side of the dollhouse. It was a horrible calamity. And my father spent about 3 months last year before the dollhouse exhibit repairing it and putting it all back together again. So actually, it was kind of a trip down memory lane for both of us to have all of his old equipment out in the workshop and that sort of thing to get it put back together again.
Well, the Band-Aid worked well because I couldn't tell where it was.
He did it very quickly and he did it very well.
But he left it here.
It is now here and probably a permanent exhibit.
Permanent exhibit in my living room, yes.
Elma, the gingerbread house, that the 29th annual, a lot of people in this community, a lot of people are alumnus, I guess, of the gingerbread contest.
And because, it's a tradition, and that's why we're so proud that it's good to have traditions. And so that's why we're so very proud to be able to do it every year for 29 years.
And I am sure, even though you said you're part of it is the weather, but you're still waiting to have the people bring theirs over. I can remember many years where we were working on gingerbread houses hours before they were due.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of the tradition, too.
Yeah.
One year I left Ferry Farm at 4:30. That's when it was Friday at 5 o'clock was the deadline. And we maybe had 10. And then as I was pulling out of the driveway, I saw the stream of cars coming in.
Yeah.
And when I came back the next day, it was filled. So.
Yep. So the gingerbread contest, or you have to have it in by Saturday.
Yes, at 4 o'clock.
And
judging begins then.
And so and then you can go. There'll be a reception on Sunday, and then if you want to come next week and for the next right through Christmas,
all the way through New Year's.
New Year's. Okay. You can dive.
And there'll also be a reception, a wee Christmas reception at Kenmore on Sunday afternoon as well. So you can go to two places.
See two things. But anyway, they are two great things. If you have any questions about anything that's going on, Kenmore.org has all the events going on over the holidays. There's 12th night at Kenmore. There's the gingerbread preschool workshops and the holiday decoration workshop for children at Kenmore on the 12th. But anyway, go to Kenmore.org for all the information. Again, the Lives and Legacies blog and the Rooms at Kenmore blog. Again, those are great things to look for and learn more about the community. Megan Bunnicher, Elma Withers, thank you guys so much
for
coming in.
You're welcome. It's always fun.
Yeah. See you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That's it for Town Talk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's program are advertising partners who have purchased commercial airtime on WFVA and have been offered the opportunity to sponsor this broadcast. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.